Good morning. This is Becky Spieth, and I just want to welcome you. I'm known as the Christian Direct Seller on Facebook and do a lot with direct sellers, entrepreneurs, and I do a lot with executives as well. I'm working with several Fortune 500 companies, coaching and teaching and supporting them as well. But I just wanted to let you know that today I'm really excited because I kind of feel like this is the story of my life. And as I got studying and reading in the Word, I got to realize, you know what, I'm not alone. That I think this is one of God's main methods of operation, that God specializes in the unexpected. Now, before we started the recording this morning, we were taking prayer requests and praise reports, so I just wanted to let you know as well that I'm on the line at 8:25 Central Time every single Monday morning, just taking your prayer requests and praise reports. Those are not recorded until we start the recording. We'll do a Bible study, and then at the end we pray, and if it's something confidential, I don't bring it up on the call during our prayer time, but I do pray for you continually throughout the week. If you do have a prayer request or praise report, you can always go over to The Christian Direct Seller and send me a message there or post it there, and know that I'll be praying for you as well as my family if it's something that's not confidential. If it is confidential, of course, I keep that private. But also, we want to hear your testimonies because it tells us in the Word that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so to me, that's pretty exciting that God just wants us to share and give Him the glory. And we're going to talk about that today in one of our stories that we're talking about and how God specializes in the unexpected. I'm going to pray really quick before we jump into the Word. Father God, I pray that You'll just bless our time together, that this will be a special time, that, Lord, we won't leave this call the same way that we came. We're so thankful that You do love us enough, that You do work through our lives in unexpected and amazing ways. Lord, we come boldly before You expecting today that You are going to work the unexpected in our life. Lord, I pray You'll speak through my mouth of clay. Give me supernatural recall of Your word and Your scripture, Lord. Speak wisdom through me. Lord, I praise You and thank You for this opportunity. And we love You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit today about somebody that might be unexpected for you, and that's Deborah in the Bible. And she was one of the judges. You can find her story in Judges 4. And for those of you that don't really know the story really well, I'm just going to give you a little synopsis, but I want to point out several different situations in her life and in her story. She fascinates me, to be really honest with you. I don't know exactly what she looks like, but I'm almost guessing that she was probably a woman that was a little smaller in frame, probably wiry and tenacious, and probably one of those women that was a stronger woman. However, it also tells us that she was a wife. And back in those days, you had to be very, very subservient to your husband. Men ruled the world. Women were really unheard of. They were seldomly mentioned in the Word. They were very much almost as if they were like a possession for husbands. And so to me, it's pretty exciting when you think about what her story has to tell us. You know, there was a time when Israel didn't have a king, or their ruler was actually a judge, because the Lord did not want them really to come underneath a king. After several judges, they did ask for a king, and of course that's when King Saul was anointed, and then King David, and then King Solomon, and you kind of probably know the stories a little bit more from there. But let's back up and go back to Deborah's story, because she was a judge, and you know, Israel just had this issue where they just kept, when they went to the promised land, the Lord says, annihilate everybody, everything, get rid of all of it, because I don't want any idol worship, I don't want any pagan stuff coming in and diluting what we've got here and our relationship. But boy, the Israelites had a hard time obeying. And I don't know if you sometimes find yourself in that same situation where you want to obey, you think you're going to obey, but there's just that one sin in your life. You've just got that one downfall. You just have that one area, and it just seems to always be bugging you. Well, after a while, the Israelites, they did evil again in the sight of the Lord. You know, that you hear that over and over again. And we think, well, how come they never learned? Man, I'm not going to be one to judge here, because I'll be honest with you. I look back at my life, and I think, well, I've tried to do my best and live the best Christian life possible. But there are times when I do, they could write my story and put, Mom, and she did evil in the sight of the Lord. So let me tell you a little bit about the Israelites. The Lord sold them back into the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. And the commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth-Hagoyim. Okay, so what basically that is, that's a fortress inside of their nation. Okay, so it was like the big hub for Canaan at that point. And the Israelites cried to the Lord because what happened is Jabin, the king, he had 900 chariots of iron and had severely oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. So they prayed for 20 solid years. Have you been praying for something for a long time and wondered, like, okay, Lord, I'm expecting this. Now, when? Well, I want to encourage you, because what happened is after those 20 years, Deborah, who was a prophetess and the wife of Lippadeth, judged Israel at the time. So what she did is she set up her courtroom and her place of wisdom out underneath the tree. Okay, so they said that she actually sat under a palm tree, and they called it the palm tree of Deborah. And she was out in the hill country, and people would come to her to settle disputes and to give wisdom, and that she knew that they knew that she heard from God, and so that she would be able to really be able to support them in making some wiser decisions. But I want to encourage you, because I'm sure that they were expecting God to do something. They just didn't know how or when. And God just really lets us know that he shows up in perfect timing, and he hears every prayer that we give him. You know, when I think about the whole story in the Word, I see God time after time interacting with his people, doing the unexpected. I want you to think back about a couple other stories, and then we'll continue our story about Deborah. But think about Noah. Can you imagine being in his situation and how surprised he was when God told him that he was going to save his earth, or save him and his family while destroying the earth with a flood? They had never experienced rain. So he told them, there's going to be rain. It's going to fall. Water's going to fall out of the sky, and the earth's going to open up, and water's going to cover everything. I'm sure that people around him thought he was absolutely crazy. It tells us that in the Word, that, like, oh, he's lost it, and he's built on this big boat, and he's expecting animals to get in there, and who would do that? And God did it, though, and he did it in an unexpected way. Think about Abraham. He was probably really surprised when God said that he would be the father of a nation when he was 100 years old and had any kids. How silly is that? Most guys by that age aren't thinking about anything, let alone having kids. And who wants to honestly be changing diapers when you're in your hundreds? I mean, I don't know. I've never been 100, but I'm pretty happy that my kids are grown and I'm not having to change a bunch of diapers still. Think about the story of Joseph. Joseph's brothers were surprised when the brother that they had sold as a slave ended up to be the leader of Egypt. And his dreams came true. Think about Moses. Moses was surprised when God wanted a meek stutterer who felt like his life and career was over to deliver his children and lead them to the promised land. Samuel, he was surprised when God told him that David would be the next king, right? Like, what? That's so not how this works. God said, that's how I want it. David was surprised when he knew that he was going to be defeating Goliath, but he was so excited, and he surprised everyone when God gave him Goliath's head in that personal hand-to-hand combat situation, right? Naaman was surprised when he was asked to bathe in the Jordan River 7 times. I mean, how many times had he probably gone in the river, or people gone in the river, and not been healed? And if he went in there 7 times, he came out and he was healed. Now, let's look at Deborah's story, because she was an unexpected leader. She wasn't really expected to be the leader of the time, because women had almost no rights. The people that were making all the decisions were the people that were the strongest warriors and the kings. And a lot of them became king because they were the strongest warrior. Now, to me, that's kind of strange that Deborah would be in that position, but that's who God placed in that position. And he gave her supernatural wisdom, I believe. Now, the thing about Deborah that was different is she was also a prophet. We just read that in the Word. And unlike the other judges in the Old Testament, most of the other judges were warriors, and God spoke to them through angels. But with her, God spoke to her direct and gave his message directly to her. So she's got a lot of unexpected things here, right? But she was unusual and an exceptional leader at a time when women just weren't able to really rise up or make a difference. But God raised her up. God tells us he's the God of promotion. I don't know if you feel like you need raised up today, but I want to encourage you that he'll do the same for you because he's not a respecter of persons. You know, what I love about God is there's so many times that he just loves using people that other people might discount or dismiss. Have you ever felt that way in your life where you just felt like, you know, do I really matter? God doesn't even really have anything significant for me. And he will use you. He will use you in amazing ways if you let him. Now, one of the things she had to do was deliver that unexpected message. Now, this is kind of a strange situation because I don't know if you know this or not, but when it says that the king of Canaan at that time had 900 chariots, what that meant is it would be like us going in hand-to-hand combat with maybe just handmade weapons, because that's all they had because they had been slaves again, that you would have to go up against 900 tanks. I mean, the thoughts of that, it's just overwhelming. There's no way that could really happen, right? But Deborah received a message from God that he wanted to help him, and God was really, really specific. And he said that she had to go down and talk to Barak and to command 10 companies of soldiers to make them ready to do battle in the Kishon River Valley. And God would deliver the Canaanite king's army and Sisera, the commander there. Well, the thing is that sounded absolutely absurd. But the cool thing is God had already set her up where she would be listened to, because what? She was a judge. She was sharing wisdom. She was a prophetess. She heard directly from the Lord. And people respected her and the wisdom that she had. So she needed to give this message. Has God ever called you to do something that you thought, whoa, this is absolutely ludicrous. It's insane. This makes no sense. And if I tell this to anybody, they're going to lock me in the loony bin. I mean, really. But God told you very specifically what to do. It could be something in your business. I can tell you some of the best things that we ever did with the greatest results were some of the craziest sounding things, but we listened and we obeyed. And we know that God loves us so much, and we have the Holy Spirit living within us now, that we can actually hear the voice of God, and we don't need to have a judge. We don't need to have a prophetess, because we've got Jesus and we've got the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our high priest, and the Holy Spirit's been given to us to speak his word and to pray us into the will of God. We talked about that a little bit on last week's study. Now, let's go back here because I want you to get the picture. Now, Deborah had to be pretty confident in order to be able to do this. However, I'm sure there was something inside of her, just like, you know, when I get up to speak, whether it's a really big stage or even a smaller stage, I get those butterflies in my stomach. I feel like I want to throw up, and it makes me nervous. But I know that God's got my back. If God tells me to do something, he's going to provide a way. And in Jeremiah 1:5, it tells us that he's going to give us the words to speak, right? Or I'm sorry, 1:7. He gives us the words to speak. So we don't have to be fearful about that. So she went and she decided, okay, I'm going to go and we'll see what's going to happen, right? So she went and she told Barak, and Barak said, you know what, the only way I'm going is if you're going with me. Now, I don't really know if he said that because, number one, he was just trying to test her to see, like, was this really from God, or if he was chicken and thought, well, at least if she's there, we'll have the presence of God with us in case we need some last-minute instructions, or if he thought that, you know, with her that God's presence would be there. I'm not really sure, but he said, I'm not going to go unless you go. I mean, how silly is that? He's in charge of all the armies, and then he said, I need you to come with me. You're a woman, but I need you to come with me. I don't really know what the whole deal was. Maybe he wanted her to die right alongside him. I don't know. But she obeyed, and they went. Now, God intervenes in unexpected ways in our lives, too, right? You know, there's a quote by Warren Worsby that says, if you can explain what God's doing in your ministry or in your business or in your life, then God's not really in it. So if you can explain and reason away what God's doing in your life, in your business, or in your ministry, he's probably not really doing it. You're probably doing quite a bit of that in your flesh. Why I like that quote is because, you know what, God loves showing his creativity. He does things in the most unusual ways. He picks unusual people, and I love that. You know, he used plagues, he used confusion, he used tumors, earthquakes, and in this case, one of the things that he did is he caused a flash flood. And so they decided they were going to go down there, they were going to do exactly what God said, and all of a sudden there was a flash flood. Now, the thing is it hadn't rained there in a long time. And when you're using chariots in your battle, what happens? You get bogged down in mud, and you can't really use them, right? They get stuck in all that soft ground. So guess what happened? These chariots became useless, and the Israelites defeated the enemy army because they weren't used to fighting without their chariots. You know, the funny thing is, and I just have to share this with you, is that the god that the Canaanites were serving was Baal. That was their idol that they worshipped. And he's considered to be the ruler of the storms and the weather. Yet, God turned that in his funny, you know, silly ways that he does to have the flash flood come and use this against them. He caused them to lose their battle because of the storm. If you find yourself in a storm, it might just be God's working in and through your life. You know, one of the things I'm going to encourage you is not to ask or expect God to dumb down his ways and his extraordinary plans to fit our tiny minds and our limited understanding. The Lord tells us in his word not to limit our understanding, but to trust in him in all of our ways. So what happened? What was the result from all of this? Well, the people who finally believed in God and obeyed him, the victory was expected, right? But the rest of the world, this had to seem like a really big surprise. There was another thing that kind of happened. So at the end of this battle, the leader, Sisera, remember I mentioned him at the beginning? He's in charge of the Canaanite army, right? So he started to flee because he knew, you know, he's a goner. His people, they lost the battle. There's just nothing they can do. He's feeling overwhelmed, so he runs. And he ran to somebody that was an Israelite, but they were in favor with the king of Canaan. So he went in, and he ran to her tent, and he said, you know what? I'm so thirsty. I'm really exhausted. And he said, you know what? Can I come in into your house? So he did. Now, he went into their tent, and he says, I've just got to lay down. Can you give me something to drink? She gave him something to drink and kind of made him feel comfortable, put him underneath a blanket, got him some warm milk. And he was just so tired from this battle, he went to sleep. And God did the unexpected again. He called Jael, J-A-E-L, who was Heber's wife. And it says, she took a tent pin and a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the pin through his temple and into the ground. For he was in a deep sleep from all the weariness, and he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, come, and I'm going to show you the man I seek. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the tent pin was in his temple. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the Israelites. And the hand of the Israelites bore more and more upon Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed him. They took out everybody. But again, I mean, do you think Jael was a wicked woman? I don't think she was. But God said, this is what I want you to do, and she obeyed. Even though it sounded awful, it sounded crazy, and it wasn't fun, I'm sure it stretched her comfort zone and her belief really big. So I don't know if that's what's happening with you in your life, but I want to encourage you that God's going to work in an unexpected way. God wants to use unexpected people just like you. He wants men and women who are willing to stand out and go against the grain. I want you to remember that it doesn't really matter what other people think about you. Only God's view of your potential matters. You don't have to live under people's limitations because you serve a God who's limitless, right? You're already ready, or you're already on his side and his list of recipients of the unexpected, just like Deborah, Jael, Noah, Abraham, God wants to surprise the world through you, through what you're doing with your life and your business. I want to encourage you to speak out when God expects it, just like Deborah did. Don't let your doubt or your fear keep you from fulfilling God's will. You need to speak up. You know, sometimes there might not be the safety and the feelings like you can just stand up. But I want you to know that when you speak out for God, there will always be security in God. God will have your back. Be willing to step out when others depend on it. Just like Barack said, you know, I'm not going unless you're going. So what happened? Deborah didn't only speak up, she spoke out and she stepped out. People can't follow if no one's leading. Be willing to go to war for God, for your people, for your business, for your family, even when it's uncomfortable, even if it's unexpected. Do it because you know it's right. You know, some things that I think that we sometimes forget is that when one leader refuses, God often asks another person to take his place. And I don't want you to be in that position. You know, when Barack refused, God raised up Deborah. When God asks us to do something for him as a leader, it's a privilege. It's an invitation, not an obligation. So what has God invited you to do? Will you accept it? If we allow our fear to stop us like Barack did, then the blessing's going to go to somebody else, just like it did JL. So don't miss it. You know, I don't know how good you are at seizing the opportunities that God's put before you. But Deborah and JL, they seized those opportunities. They obeyed immediately. They didn't argue with God. They didn't wait on it. They didn't sit on it. They took action. And they did what they could by seizing that opportunity. And God gave them, knowing that there was a gap between what they were doing and what really needed to happen. And God said, you know what, I'm going to fill in the gap. And he did. God will do the same for you. And I want you to remember that when you lead and you obey God's call, that your people are going to be blessed. And whenever you rise up and you fulfill your calling, the people around you, the people you serve, the people that are looking to you for direction, and even if you think nobody's looking to you for direction, I promise you there's someone. Someone that could be a neighbor, a husband, a spouse, a boyfriend, a child, a coworker, a friend. Someone's watching. They're expecting you to do the right thing. They're expecting you to lead. When she stepped up and said, you know what, God, I'm willing to let you do the unexpected in me, he did. If you want your people to be blessed, be an example to them and obey God's call in your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you so much for your lesson in Deborah's life and the life of these amazing people of faith. Lord, I'm excited because you're going to be doing the unexpected in our life. That's what you specialize in. You're going to be doing that in our businesses, Lord. I want you to teach my friends to always have the courage to break new ground for you, Lord. Grant them the wisdom that they need. Make them bold. Give them the confidence that comes only from you and give them the victory. Father God, I pray specifically for Katie today. You know that she needs a job. She wants her business to take off, Lord, as well. And she needs that boldness of spirit, that courage, that faith, that unwavering belief, knowing that you've got her back and you're going to give her that courage. You're going to give her the right things to say and that she can go to her director and her upline leaders, Lord, to get the additional support that she needs. Lord, I ask for supernatural provision for her. I ask that you send resources to her from the north, the south, the east, the west in unexpected places and ways. Lord, I pray that you'll give Carol and her husband safe travel and be with her if she's got jury duty, Lord. You just are so funny. That's even a great way that you're bringing her back to spend some time with her son, Lord. Thank you that she's willing and she's obedient. Lord, we praise you and thank you for another magnificent week. Help us to be just like Deborah, a wise woman, willing to take immediate action, to speak out, to step up, and to fulfill the call in our life. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for this incredible week you've given before us. Help us to accomplish everything that you would have us to accomplish. Give us the peace that goes beyond understanding, Lord, in our hearts, knowing that we're serving and following you. Thank you for growing and stretching us. We love you, Father God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got about 2 minutes. Does anybody have any last-minute comments or anything that you'd like?